Welcome to The Common Sense Show with your host, Dave Hodges. We discuss a variety of topics here, including the deep state, the New World Order, Agenda 21. There is no one, no topic beyond Dave's reach, because as you know, you can't dodge the Hodge.
Hi, everybody. This is Dave Hodges. I'm the host of The Common Sense Show, and we are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. We've got a terrific guest for you in this segment. His name is Mike Adams from News Target, Natural News, and all kinds of video expertise. I love the videos he puts out. We're going to talk about that. He's recently gone through a name change from Real Video, and we're going to hit that up as well. But he's at the forefront of a lot of what's going on, and we're going to talk about post-election special and then branch out from there. But before we get started, I need to let you know that this show is made possible by a couple of our sponsors. One is Virtual Shield. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. If the Democrats fully take over, they won't just persecute you for you've been online. They will prosecute you. And this is why you want Virtual Shield, because they can obscure where you have been. It's the best that there is out there. Their developers are so clandestine, they won't even come on my show. They want to remain anonymous. And I understand why, and I respect that. They have great, great low prices, and I don't know why they need to do a special, but they are 40% off this month. And Virtual Shield will protect you in terms of your camera, your onboard microphone. No one's going to be able to penetrate it. We have tried the experiments. I've been a participant in it, and there's just no getting in. How do you get yours? Go to hidewithdave.com. Hidewithdave.com. This is a no-brainer. Also, in all the tumultuous stuff that is going on, if you don't have 6 months of storable food, you're taking a big risk with you and your family's security. And we have the best offer that's out there right now, My Patriot Supply. And what they have is no glyphosates, no GMOs. They have 70% off sales and 2 and 4 week packages designed to get you to that 6 month magic level. That's the minimum of what you should have. So ladies and gentlemen, get on board today. Get started protecting your family. Go to preparewithdave.com. That's preparewithdave.com, and get the peace of mind that comes with knowing you've prepped your family for food needs as best as you can. Well, no, Mike Adams needs no introduction. I mean, he's been on our show a lot. He's well known in the Patriot community, and he's a thorn in the side of the bad guy. So much so, Google likes to delist him and YouTube likes to ban him. So here he is, Mike Adams. Mike, hi, welcome to the show.
Hi there, Dave. Thanks for having me back on. It's been, I think, a couple of months before since we've talked, and we've had the election since then. So a lot has happened.
Oh, we really have, and I'm sitting down here in Arizona where we just had Martha McSally ripped off by Kyrsten Sinema, biggest vote fraud ever. Let me tell you the story real quick here, and I'll tell you, they're being really quiet down here, and I'll tell you why. Martha McSally, who lost, will probably get the next senatorial appointment. It's going to be an appointment in 2 years. So I think she bowed out graciously, but now Republicans, I know, and I was talking to a couple of them today, they're making noise about voter fraud. Let me tell you what happened. This guy named Fontes runs Maricopa County elections, and he said, well, you know, forget the fact that McSally had the lead going into the vote count on the paper ballots. The Democrats delivered them en masse late. Well, first of all, he's either breaking the law or it's a bold-faced lie. Number one, in Arizona, you can't bring anyone's ballot to be turned in. That is a violation of state law. It's a felony. Secondly, when he says that the Democrats dropped him off late, there's no markings on the outside that would indicate Democrats. He's not allowed to ask, nor are his people allowed to ask. So is he admitting to crimes on behalf of him and his cronies, or is he just lying and it's a cover story for ballot stuffing that we know they've been doing? I mean, Mike, that's where it's going down right now here in Arizona. I mean, you have Kyrsten Sinema, who made the statement, and I quote, and she said that on my friend's Ernie Hancock's radio show, that I don't have a problem if Americans go fight with the Taliban. And she said that after 9/11 when she was running for state office. Who would the hell would vote for that?
Well, there are a lot of people willing to vote for more entitlements, more big government, more tyranny. However, I agree with you that what we witnessed in Arizona, as well as, of course, Florida and California, is massive ballot manufacturing and election theft. And one of the things that I really notice in this is that you notice that it's always Democrats that are handling the ballots. So it's like Brenda Snipes in Florida. It's Democrats because the ballots are usually handled in the state capital or in the biggest problems happen in very big city counties where they are largely Democrats. So it's always Democrats that have their hands on the greatest number of ballots. And what's happened since 2016 is that Democrats have all independently decided to just cheat and commit fraud and do anything necessary to win. They no longer engage in elections with a sense of good faith. They don't believe that they have to abide by any rules whatsoever. So our democracy no longer works when half the country, the Democrat half, refuses to follow the rules. And I'd point out, Dave, that remember that elections are a replacement for deciding who takes power by killing the king or having a military coup or having a civil war. You know, elections are the peaceful way to decide how to change power. But if the Democrats won't allow that to happen, then things are probably going to devolve into violence. That's where we're headed.
I have absolutely no disagreement with what you said, and neither one of us have ever advocated for violence, but you're right. It's a natural outcome when people's legitimate right for self-expression and having a say in their own future is taken away from them by fraud. And you know what's interesting, Mike? Every single race that's contested in America is going the Democrats' way now. That's statistically impossible.
That's right. Yeah, they're ballot stuffing. They have ballot factories, and of course they're taking provisional ballots and trying to get them counted. I think that Schumer came out and said that he's going to push to have every ballot, every vote counted in America. And when Democrats say count every vote, what they mean is all the illegal votes, which shouldn't be counted, of course. You know, I say count all the legal votes from American citizens, but you can't count illegal votes. But it's clear the Democrats' game plan is just to flood the country with as many illegal immigrants as possible and then have them vote and make sure those votes get counted by demanding count every vote. They don't care if it's legal. They just want the power, and they're willing to have America overrun in order to grab that power.
You know, it's time that President Trump step up. In California, you can get a driver's license and be any citizen status or non-citizen that you are. And you go from there to register to vote. So right there, they're opening the process up to fraud and illegitimate participation. I am baffled on why Trump hasn't sent the DOJ in to arrest the voter fraud people in California.
Yeah, well, maybe that's coming. With Whitaker as acting attorney general, we may get some traction on several fronts. However, like you, I feel a bit of frustration in the fact that it seems like Democrats are fighting like hell and Republicans are just laying back and getting steamrolled. And, you know, we've seen this for 2 years. Trump's the only guy fighting. Nobody else is fighting. And, you know, we're sick of it. Why doesn't the GOP stand up and fight like the Democrats fight? I tell you, the victor here is going to be the one who just has the most gumption, you know, just wants it the most, and that's right now, that's Democrats.
I couldn't agree with you more, and I guess what we're saying is, where has the backbone of the Republican Party gone? Why aren't they standing up? And again, I'll go back to Trump too. Snipes has done enough to go to prison, and I'm talking about who's in charge in Broward County, and Trump is missing a golden opportunity right now. You want to jail someone that represents a deep state? There's your first person.
Yeah. But to answer your question, though, I think Republicans are decent people. They're moral people. And so they want to be polite. They want to follow the rules. You know, Republicans tend to play by the rules, whereas Democrats have no morals, no ethics, no rules. They are wicked, evil, deceptive people. And so when it comes to elections or politics, there are no boundaries for them. They don't care what they do to their opponents. They want to destroy and murder their opponents, whereas Republicans want to be nice and want to get along and want to appease. So what I say is, it's time to stop appeasing the Democrats and start just defeating them. That's the shift that has to take place. Trump recognizes that, and that's why he won. And frankly, McSally there in Arizona, where you are, she ran as a moderate, too. If she had been more hardcore conservative, she would have had, I think, a huge advantage in votes, and they wouldn't have been able to steal the election from her. So those Republicans that are trying to be moderates and trying to appease the left are getting clawed out there. Will they get a clue and realize that? I don't know, because they still want to be polite when they're actually in a war.
There is no civility when you're in a war. It's time to recognize where we're at. You know, I spoke to the Oath Keepers up in the Prescott, Arizona area last weekend, and they asked me a question. They said, are we in a civil war? And my answer, they told me, matched exactly what my congressman, Dr. Paul Gosar, said the month before. And Dr. Gosar said, we're in a civil war. It's just we haven't started shooting en masse yet.
Right. Yeah, you're exactly right. Well, these events that we're talking about right here, any one of them could be a trigger. I mean, think about World War I. How did that happen? Or World War II. There's small trigger events that set these things off. And the trigger event could be happening right now in Broward County. And it just has to escalate to be the full trigger. We don't know. But there could be one event. It could be the election of 2020. Maybe the Democrats go for broke and just try to steal every ballot. And at some point, maybe the Patriots of America just stand up and say, enough is enough. We're going to take back this country and defend America through constitutionally protected means. We're not going to let you steal our country. I don't know what trigger is, Dave. You know, it's your guess is as good as mine, but it's coming. Because the division is there. I know that patriots are sick and tired of being having their country stolen. They're sick and tired of being called racist and Nazis when they aren't. They're sick and tired of the bigotry of the left, the left's attacks on white people and Christians and men. And even white women now are in the crosshairs of the left. Even gay white men are now considered evil by the left, right? Being gay isn't enough now to make you part of the left. Like your whiteness makes you more evil than your gayness makes you good, according to the left. It's all so insane. How do you even make sense of it? But that's what's happening. So most rational people are sick and tired of the left.
Yeah, but it's unfortunate because our elected representatives seem to be three steps behind the rank and file.
Yeah, well, the one good thing that happened in this midterm elections is that a lot of anti-Trumpers lost. And so the party, by percentage now, the GOP, is more pro-Trump than it was before, even though, of course, they lost the House. But it does put Trump in a position of having saved several Senate seats. You know, he campaigned for the Senate. And with the Senate still in power with the GOP, you know this very well, Dave, the Senate is the one that confirms judiciary appointments, including Supreme Court seats. And so the power in the Senate is far greater than the power of the House. And Trump made a decision to really shore up the Senate races, and we kept the Senate. And we have a bigger majority, slightly bigger majority in the Senate now. So if there's another Supreme Court opening, guess what? Someone like Jeff Flake, you know, your favorite person there in Arizona, Jeff Flake is going to be out anyway, but no one like Jeff Flake can hold up the confirmation.
Yeah, Jeff Flake is an interesting guy. Let's just let him pass. He's temporarily out of office now, but it's not keeping him from being interviewed on CNN. I think that's interesting, too. And he's supposedly a Republican.
Right.
Very, very interesting. You know, I have to tell you, I am no fan of the Republican Party, never have been. I don't like political parties because the parties put themselves over country, God, and the family. But you know what, Mike, we don't have a choice right now. Evil resides in the Democratic Party, abject evil. And if there's any decency to be found in government right now, it does reside in the Republican Party. I don't know if you feel that way or not, but we have to take a side.
Well, I do. I think the same way right now. I'm not a political party person. I like political tribalism, and both parties have become the party of big government. So, you know, I kept saying I wanted a choice on the ballot that was the small government candidate, but there wasn't one, so I voted Republican. You know, that's the best we could do. But the entire system is really scamming all of us because all of our futures are being mortgaged right now, regardless of who's in power. It's just that the Democrats, they want to enslave all of you. They want to confiscate your wealth, take your property, take your business, you know, flood the border. They now literally want to destroy America, whereas at least the Republicans don't want to destroy America. So, I mean, think about how sad things have become, that this is the choice we now have to make. Do you vote to destroy your country, or do you vote to not destroy your country? Like, that's the best that you can choose. Even though the country's going broke, at least we can vote, you know, not to destroy it. But, wow, what a sad state of affairs we find ourselves in.
Well, the sad state of affairs goes beyond that. You mentioned earlier, too, about white males. And let me tell you what I've come across here. And this is something I'm very sensitive to because I work in post-secondary education. The Ivy League schools now have a decided bias against admitting white males. And this is appearing everywhere in print right now. And when they're questioned about it, they just say, well, you know, it's not really a quota system like the 70s, but we're just trying to level the playing field. And I look at this and I go, what rubbish. Whatever happened to qualifications, SAT scores, ACT scores, GPA for getting into school? I have no idea how they can possibly justify this. Then it's blatant racism designed to divide people.
Well, of course it is, and it's not just against people who are white. It's against Asian Americans. There is a, you know, very aggressive discrimination policy against Asians in Harvard and Yale, I believe,
yes,
as well as the California schools. There's a major lawsuit out there right now over this, and Democrats are saying that they should discriminate against Asians, and the way they do this is so malicious. They give Asians they give you a social score. They score how well you socially interact with others, and then they say, well, Asians should have a lower social score because they don't interact as well with the other people. So they get this social penalty, which is a made-up thing. It's a totally made-up thing. You know, I speak Chinese. I've been my wife's from Taiwan. I've been around, you know, Asian-American communities my whole life. Asian-Americans are very social people. But if you kick them out and then say you're not welcome here, then, yeah, they're not that sociable. So that's what these schools are doing, and the left is arguing that this is a good thing, which shows you that the bigotry is on the left. The Democrats and leftists, they are bigots. They are racist by definition. They're racist against white people. They're racist against Asians. And my concern, Dave, is, you know, one day if I'm going up in a high-rise building, I want that building to have been engineered by the best qualified architect or engineer. I don't want that building to have been engineered by somebody who got an extra bonus grade or got into a university because the color of their skin happened to be preferred. I want to drive on a bridge or go in a building or be on a highway that's engineered by people who are qualified. Or if you have to have surgery one day, you want a doctor who's qualified. You don't want this liberalism infecting society where you have all these incompetent people everywhere. But that's where we're headed.
Mike, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I thought I lost you for a minute here. We just gapped out. That's okay. We're back.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Hey, listen, stranger things have happened. We have had a lot of faux pas since we've done a switch here. We've had a lot of interference. But anyway, we're good for the go. I totally agree with what you're saying about Asians. And, you know, one of the reasons that they're so talented academically, and this is not the only reason, but it's one of the reasons. And I'll tell the story this way. My niece was a co-valedictorian in her large high school in the Denver, Colorado area, and her counterpart was a refugee from Vietnam. And we got to know the family, and great, great people. The dad was an Arvin colonel, and they had to hide and flee for their lives. It's a great story. And they got her to America, and it was like opportunity on steroids. They just couldn't believe all the opportunity we had. And they told their kids, hey, this is it. And their kids all super exceeded. And this really represented a lot of the Vietnamese community that emigrated from Vietnam in very dire times after the North overran the South. And this is part of the reason why we now have the first and second generation of these people who came here. They're dominating in our schools because they work so stinking hard. And not only that,
absolutely,
they come from a good gene pool. We didn't get, no offense to anybody, but janitors and custodians and so forth. We got professors and colonels and generals and top-level bureaucrats, people who could think, economists who would have been murdered and massacred had they stayed and waited for the North to take over. So we got a good gene pool, and we got people that were highly motivated to work.
And you just nailed it right there, because today in America, especially among the younger generation, college students or those just out of college, they have no work ethic, with very few exceptions. They don't believe they should have to work. You know, I call it, it's the Ocasio-Cortez effect. You ask her, you know, how are you going to come up with $48 trillion? She says, oh, I just pay for it, just money from nowhere. This is the way that a lot of these young people think today. So they don't know what it means to work hard. No one's ever told them they suck, because the from, you know, parenthood and school, K through 12 plus college, the messaging to these kids has been, you're all special. You're all wonderful. You're all winners. Well, actually, no, they're not. Most of them suck, and they're going to be outworked and outperformed by a lot of these Asian immigrants, as you just mentioned, because some people actually want to make something out of their lives. But so many of the kids who were born here in America, they take everything for granted. Life's been way too easy for them. They're not going to go anywhere. There's going to be a day of reckoning for them one day when they realize, oh, my God, I mean, the world doesn't just give me everything I want for free. Wow, that's a shocker.
Well, you know where a lot of this came from, Mike, and I saw this having been in coaching for a long time. You know, it was about the late 80s, and that generation of adults having kids started saying, Johnny can never fail. Everybody needs to win a ribbon, win a trophy. No one loses. And if they're going to lose, let's just not keep score at the athletic events. And it was that kind of mentality that started to permeate our country. And now we're beginning to see the effects of it.
Well, when I was in grade school, you know, we played dodgeball. And dodgeball,
yeah.
I love dodgeball because it's immediate feedback, right? If you don't dodge, you get smacked in the face. Or if you can't throw very well, then you're not going to win. You know, so dodgeball is great, but dodgeball is banned now in most schools because it's too violent. Oh, my God, you threw an inflated rubber ball at a sixth grader. You know, well, that's not allowed anymore because it's too violent. Well, guess what? You know, my generation and your generation, we had a lot of tough, successful people come out of our generations because we played sports. You know, I ran track for 4 years, and I played football for 1 year in high school. And, you know, that toughened me up. It gave me discipline. It taught me things that I wouldn't have otherwise learned. And when you run track meets, you either win or you lose. They don't give you ribbons for showing up.
I know.
If you're last place, you're a loser. So you work hard. You try to win. That's how it works.
It's so frustrating to see. I have to tell you, Mike, it's not getting any better. It's getting worse because the millennials, they've carried that losing entitlement attitude into it's okay to live with mommy and daddy until we're 35 in their basement.
Sure. Yeah, you see a lot of that. It's, again, there's going to be a day of reckoning. And perhaps I should mention that, you know, the Fed is going to keep raising rates until they break the economy. You know how they kept the rates artificially low under Obama for 8 years to try to make Obama look good, even though his economic policies were disastrous. Well, the inverse, of course, now the Fed is raising rates under Trump to try to crash the market. And we may be very, very close to the top at this point. I mean, it seems like many things are falling away. So there's going to be a day of reckoning on the debt system. And I know you've talked about this before, and I've been concerned about this since 2008 when it didn't really solve the problem. They just bailed out the banks. So now here we are 10 years later. The problem is way worse now that the interest rates are getting raised, which means free money is becoming scarce. You know, money is becoming more expensive to borrow. And so the contraction is starting to begin. And when it accelerates, it's going to be catastrophic. And this is the whole point. They want to blame Trump for a catastrophe before the 2020 election.
Exactly right. The Federal Reserve is complicit in committing suicide because you never raise interest rates in a low inflationary environment. Never. Never, yeah. Never, never. And they are. And what's interesting is the Fed has announced by 2019 that they're going to have their own cryptocurrency. I think that's their escape hatch. And today, Christine Lagarde, the head of the IMF, came out and said, boys and girls, it's time to go to digital currency. So there's all kinds of signs they're going to collapse the economy.
Yeah, and by the way, when the Fed, you know, a Fed cryptocurrency is nothing more than a global government monetary tracking system. It's Mark of the Beast. So all this pushing of cryptos to make them popular with the young people, oh, crypto this, crypto that, everybody wants to get into crypto, or at least did until the bottom fell out of it. But if you give up cash, you give up anonymity, and if you have a purely electronic global money system run by globalists, they can, of course, inflate that system anytime they want. They can create their own new money anytime they want, even more easily than they can now. And they can also, by the way, have negative interest rates. Negative interest rates, which means they subtract money from your wallet every month just for having your money sitting there. Negative interest rates, which they wish they could have done under Obama, but you can't under our current monetary system. But if you have an electronic system, they can push negative interest rates, and they will abuse that. So get ready. It's coming.
Yeah, I'm afraid it's already unfolding, because we're seeing key people pull their money out of the market. So we're seeing these wild fluctuations, I think designed to destroy confidence in the public. So it's starting in that sector. You know, Mike, I've said for a long time, the only way out of this mess is to repudiate the debt. The debt's illegitimate for the most part. It's based on Ponzi schemes and money games. And if we don't have a president who will repudiate the debt, then we have no hope. And I thought Trump would be the guy. Maybe he's waiting until after the 2020 election. But we need to repudiate the bailouts. We need to repudiate the credit swap derivatives debt of $1.5 quadrillion, which is 16 times the value of the planet. I mean, Mike, there's no choice. If the debt stays, we can't.
Well, you're correct. But the reason, you know, the reason behind it, as long as that debt exists, it means the globalist banks can seize future earnings from the American taxpayers and producers of society. So, you know, think about Atlas Shrugged. The producers of society are always having their production confiscated by the government regime. And in this case, the central banks, being a globalist regime that actually supersedes the power of any sovereign nation, such as the United States, the globalist banks have to maintain their power to extract wealth from what are essentially tax farms. So the United States is a tax farm. You and I were working as slaves, slave workers, on a tax farm that is essentially owned by the central banks. They have the right to, the power to create debt and to enslave us through this fictional debt. So that system is so powerful, and it generates so much real wealth for the globalist bankers that they would do anything to keep that in place, including assassinating a president.
I've been wondering about that, too, with the executive action. Let's go into the office of the Attorney General for a second here, and you got Whitaker. Whitaker's hardcore Trump material. He's a guy, if the emails from Hillary Clinton were dangled in front of him, he would have nailed her. And he just didn't get the chance. But also, you look at Rosenstein. Mike, I think Rosenstein was flipped. He gets on the plane. He goes on Air Force One. He comes back. He's going to get fired. And Trump starts singing his praises. And his wife, Lisa Barsoomian, is the deep state fixer and cleaner. She's the ultimate. She's represented the Clintons 62 times in court, just as one example. But she does a lot more than that. And if you flip Rosenstein, you've neutralized Barsoomian. And I think that this is leverage against Democrats who are corrupt. Rosenstein knows where the bodies are buried. And I think the Democrats have been leveraged by Rosenstein. And Rosenstein should have been the acting AG, the number two guy. You promote the top assistant. But they didn't, because he's being used. And now they bring in a real prosecutor. Could stuff really going to be happening here with Trump? Is he really going to do something?
Well, I read your analysis of Rosenstein, and it was fascinating. I wasn't aware of that analysis before. If he has turned, and I'm not yet convinced that he is, perhaps, but if he has turned, then it's over for the deep state. Because with Rosenstein going against the deep state, and then Whitaker prosecuting with Rosenstein giving them evidence, then, you know, the power of the DOJ, Trump's got at least 2 years to engage in the prosecutions. Yeah, you know, Hillary Clinton's going to jail if that's the case. But they're going to try to remove Whitaker, and they're going to try to, of course, threaten and leverage Rosenstein to keep him silent if he were to even think about turning on the Democrats. You know, the Democrats have so much power, and they're willing to do anything. I mean, look how many dead bodies showed up in Broward County over the last 3 or 4 years. You know, whistleblowers.
Yeah,
if they're found floating in a river. You know, it's so common. The Democrats will murder you. if you have something. I mean, look at Seth Rich in the DNC. You know, they'll murder people. They stop at nothing. Again, for the reasons we already discussed, they have no boundaries. They have no morals, no ethics. To them, it's all just absolute power, no matter who has to die or be threatened in the process. So we'll see.
Well, they have the lowest form of morality, which basically can be encapsulated by the phrase "might makes right," and this is who they are. And so we have a failure, on the conservative side, because we tend to think that the world sees the world the way that we do, and that is not the case. And we haven't we haven't understood or anticipated the veracity of our enemy. I mean, when they had the Stanford University study come out and basically show that Bernie Sanders had the primary election stolen from him by Hillary Clinton in 16 George Soros voting machine states, that should have been a key right there to guard in the 2018 election against voter fraud. And I'm really disappointed because Donald Trump did nothing.
Well, President Trump is up to his eyeballs in, you know, just defending himself against attempts to not only physically kill him, but to, of course, dethrone him from a power point of view, digging into his tax records and everything else, you know, all the fake accusations and so on. But I think Trump should just, frankly, have about a four-hour conference with the American people and just demand broadcast time on all the channels, you know, all the networks. And if they refuse to give it to him, just invoke the national emergency executive order that's already active and just say, nope, we're just taking over for this announcement. And over the 4 hours, he should just lay out everything that's happened. He should declassify all the FISA warrant documents, announce indictments against deep state actors, just go public with everything, tell patriots they need to be prepared to defend the nation, you know, in essence, deputize the American people.
That's a good point. I love that idea. Love it.
Yeah, I mean, Trump could deputize, in essence, the American people to say, go defend America, you know. I mean, if he keeps playing by the current rules, the Democrats are just going to keep steamrolling him. He's got to change the game, and that's going to take something drastic.
Well, what concerns me, too, is, and I've written about this, I have full, it's absolutely airtight documentation that Robert Mueller delivered the first set of highly enriched uranium to the Russians. And that's treason. We executed the Rosenbergs for less. And he did it. Listen, I've got the Russian memo. I've got the State Department memo. They confirm each other. We have people who are speaking out behind the scenes now coming forward and contacting me and said, Dave, I was in state. I know what happened. You're right. I can't speak out. My life would be in danger. They're just confirming what I already have proven. And this just is so frustrating. And what Mueller is doing is classic disinfo intel, which is to accuse your enemy of what you've already done, which is collusion with the Russians. And that's what they've done here. And this investigation needs to end, but Mueller needs to be prosecuted.
Well, and not only that, but of course, pardons need to be issued to every American that Mueller has indicted under this, because the entire investigation was initiated on a false premise, you know, based on the illegal leak of classified information by James Comey, who was a pal of Robert Mueller. You know how Democrats try to say that Whitaker has conflicts of interest? Are you kidding me? Look at the conflicts of interest with Peter Strzok and James Comey and Robert Mueller. All these people, they're all in thick with the deep state. They're all on that deep state team. So, yeah, Mueller needs to go to prison, but he's one of just, you know, hundreds, if not thousands, need to be indicted.
And see, I don't get it. Why can't Trump just say tomorrow, you've had 2 years to prove your case. You've proven nothing, but you're on a witch hunt. Your investigation's over, and I'm ending it today. As the chief executive officer, you're done. I don't care what the Democrats do. I don't care how loud CNN yells. It needs to be done. It's over.
Yeah, well, I also think Trump should, with Whitaker now, he should go to the tech giants, you know, the Facebooks and the Googles, and just say, look, we're going to indict you if you don't stop the censorship right now. You reinstate all the conservative accounts that you censored, or you're going to jail, period.
Mm-hmm.
And just do it. And if a bunch of liberal judges say, oh, no, we're going to block your effort, you know, because we're liberal judges, we're going to write our own law, then just march in there with the federal marshals and arrest the judge. I mean, well, these judges can't control the country.
I agree, and I got a little inside information on this one, Mike. I was at Steve Quayle's conference in Branson, and I'm sitting there with at dinner on a Saturday night at the Hilton with Joe and Doug Hagman and Gary Haven, you know, the owner of Kurz, very politically active, the producer of Amerageddon, and Gary and I are pretty good friends. And what's interesting about Gary is that he has contacts in the Trump administration. He's good friends with Rand Paul, good friends with your governor in Texas. And I'm bemoaning censorship. I'm going off on it in dinner. And I said, hey, they're violating open forum laws, antitrust laws, blah, blah. And I went through a chapter and verse. He gets on the phone and he calls someone who meets with Trump on a regular basis. And he had me lay it out for him over a half hour. This guy was taking notes. He said, let me write this down. And he's taking notes. Now, this was on a Saturday night. Oh, I don't know. What was it? March 15th or thereabouts. That following week, on Tuesday or Wednesday, President Trump came out and said, and this is in September. He said, if you don't stop, we're coming after you. And he reiterated this about 2 weeks ago. And I talked to the same person on the phone 2 days ago. And I said, so where's this at? So tell me what's happening with Trump and censorship, and is he going to allow this? I said, he really needs us on his side. And to be on his side, we can't be interfered with. And he said, there are things that are coming. And he said, I can't say any more than that, Dave. But he said, but there are things that are coming, and you and I help to initiate it. And wow. And so I get the feeling that around the first of the year that we're going to start to see the first actions taken. And that's just a guess on my part, but what he told me was pretty definitive. Things are going to happen.
Well, that's great news to hear. And I know that he had been working on at least some executive orders, but now with Sessions gone, that opens up many more possibilities. You can go after these tech companies with the DOJ as well as the FTC. You can criminally indict them, but you can also, from a regulatory point of view, you can also pressure them that way. So he's got a lot of options.
He really does. But the biggest thing that they violate is this. It's the open forum laws. And there is a statute on there, and it escapes me in the moment. But Mike, if you have a platform and you're a monopoly, say like a YouTube or a Google, or not Google, but Facebook, and someone puts child porn on your site, you're not responsible if you're an open forum, because you said we can't police everything. You're doing your best. But if you censor, then you assume the responsibility for everything that's on your site. So if child porn goes up, you could be prosecuted just the same as the perpetrator.
Right, right. Turns you into a publisher. And we need to legislatively look, you know, take a new look. I think you're referring to the CDA, the Communications Decency Act, as well. And all of that needs to be reworked, because if they're selectively censoring conservative voices, then they are taking on the role of a publisher, because they're making editorial decisions about the political slant of what their platform is allowed to be used for. So yes, they can be indicted. They can be pressured. And that needs to happen right now. You know, we can't have a democracy. We can't have elections if both sides can't engage in public discussion. You know, it's the pillar of a democratic society. You have to be able to debate and speak. Otherwise, you know, how do you even go through what's a good idea and what's a bad idea?
By the way, this advisor to President Trump, a few nights ago, he had his Twitter account obliterated. And I asked him, I said, well, what did you put up there? And he said, oh, I was copying and pasting economic prognostications and achievements of the president. And I said, that's it? And I said, wait a minute. I said, give me an example. Well, the inflation rate is blah, blah, blah. And I said, and you got your account terminated for that? But see, it's all good news. It all favors Trump. And that's why they went after it.
Right.
And it's just mind-boggling.
It's even, you know, it's even worse. They say, well, if you don't like our platform, go build your own, right? So then Gab gets built. So Torba, that's Andrew Torba, builds Gab. And then, of course, what happens? Everybody shuts him off. The hosting company shuts him off. PayPal shuts him off. He gets banned from Google Apps. Can't even write an app that people want. So it becomes a total joke. They say, well, you know, you you're not welcome on our platform, go build your own platform, and then you build a platform, and then they attack, and they destroy that platform through all these levels of infrastructure of the internet, and then they still say, well, you're free to speak, you just can't use technology. You know, that's what it comes to.
No, you're
right. You can walk
right
outside your back door and speak.
Well, I had a... I did two podcasts where I briefly mentioned Gap, and it wasn't even the focus of my story, but because I mentioned it, instant demonetization.
Right.
Just mentioning Gap got me demonetized. And all I was doing was reporting the news. It was an established event. Yeah, Gab had this happen to it. Oh, Gab is back. I mean, and that right there, it was incredible how YouTube responded to this. I was stunned. I thought, haven't you already done the damage? Why can't we talk about it? It's on CNN. Why can't we talk about what's on CNN?
Right. Well, and this is, you know, this is why our video platform, as you mentioned, it used to be called Real.Video. Now it's BrightEon.com. Brighteon is how you pronounce that, but it continues to flourish. You know, we have tens of thousands of videos, well, actually way over 100,000 now, but thousands of different channels, people are uploading every hour of the day. You know, we're serving millions of video views per week. It's doing very well because it's independent and people have, for the most part, freedom of speech. We have to ban people for violating federal law, you know, that you can't go on there and call for violence. We have to ban those videos. But that actually hasn't been much of a problem. We haven't had people try to do that. A few people try to upload porn, things like that, so you just ban their accounts and continue. But for the most part, it's been great. Lots of people continue to join it.
Now I'm going to have to get technologically experienced and get involved in this.
Yeah, we welcome you there. You know, you have a lot of success there. We've had just about 100 new channels a day right now. Sometimes it peaks at 500 a day. Just depends on the day, depends on what's going on. And we have a lot of new features rolling out, like the subscribe features and playlists and things like that. So it's continuing to mature.
Well, that is really fantastic. How do your numbers compare? How do your numbers compare to, say, YouTube?
Well, I mean, it's a drop in the bucket compared to YouTube, but it's a different purpose. You know, YouTube is just about attracting views. It can be entertainment. It can be useful. I mean, useless nonsense. But we focus on things that help enlighten humanity. In fact, the name Brighteon means a bright eon is ahead for humanity. And so our videos, you know, what we try to attract is videos where there's analysis, there's useful information, prepping information, nutritional information. And yeah, there's some stuff on there that's not that useful, but that just goes with being a public space.
Sure, okay. Sure. But I understand that you're outpacing. This is the reason I asked the question. In the area of Patriot publication, I understand you're outpacing YouTube right now.
Well, I don't know. I haven't seen those numbers. I just know we're serving millions of views every week, and YouTube is banning all those channels. So YouTube is shrinking in that area, and we're growing in that area. We welcome firearms videos, and we welcome prepping videos, and we welcome political analysis. And actually, we welcome both sides, by the way. We've got there's a preacher on there who's a Democrat, and he's always talking about how conservatives are evil, you know. But actually, I got a bunch of complaints about this guy. And people were telling me, well, it's hate speech. It's hate speech. I'm like, listen, do you hear yourself? That's what Democrats say about you. We can't ban somebody because you think it's hate speech. And I'm like, did the guy call for killing you? And they say, no. I say, well, then, you know, it's not illegal. Let him talk. You know what I mean? But, it's funny. I get pressured. People want me to ban other people on the channel. And I don't want to do that. I don't do that unless it's illegal. The one exception being, don't welcome video game footage videos. So some people video themselves playing a video game, and they
Why?
Share that with other people. This is the new young generation, because a lot of kids like to watch other people play video games because they're too lazy to play them themselves. This is the everybody.
Oh my God! Thing. No, say it is so.
No, I'm sorry.
Did I just hear you correctly?
Yes. Yes, there's a whole industry of people, just people watching other people play video games. And so all these gamers tried to use Brighteon, and they were taking up all our transcoding and storage and bandwidth and everything. So we banned that category not as a free speech issue, but just like, this is not the right platform for you. This is not a gamer's platform. So we banned the gamer videos, and then, you know, got a little bit of hate from the gamers, but then they went away. But that is a real thing.
That is just my – no, it's not. You know why? That's typical millennial BS. It's typical – you know, it's kind of like I saw this the other day. Kids were playing video game basketball, and I'm thinking, I used to go out and play basketball. What's wrong with you guys?
Right. Yeah, exactly. No, it's crazy. I saw a kid the other day, a mobile device, looked like he was playing a video game, and turns out he's just watching it.
That's just nuts. But that's what we have to overcome, Mike. See, we laugh at this, and people go, oh, Dave and Mike are getting off topic. No, we're not, because we got 20% of the people right now doing 80% of the work, and 80% of the people are sitting on their fat asses doing nothing, while the rest of us are risking everything trying to preserve this country, and this is the kind of mentality that we're fighting against.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's the do-nothing generation. They think they're owed everything, like they are God's gift to this world or something. And you know, again, the Ocasio-Cortez generation, just everything should be free. Shouldn't have to work for anything, and everybody's a winner.
Did you see where that moronic woman was asking why she hadn't been paid by Congress yet?
Yeah, I did.
Did you see that?
Yeah. She was talking about renting an apartment she couldn't afford.
Well, she couldn't even find the apartment. She said, how do I find an apartment? And then she turned around and she said, and I want to know why I haven't been paid yet. I'm thinking, hey, did you get that far in college where she sat in American government class? Were you absent that day when they talked to you about swearing in?
No, she's got a degree in economics, if you can believe that. Now, I think they should make her Speaker of the House, because this would be best 2 years of total laughter. The Austrian economists would be rolling on the floor constantly. This would be the best. I mean, we should showcase the economic illiteracy of the radical left through Ocasio-Cortez. She could really teach us a lot over the next 2 years.
No, it would be Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
Every day would be an adventure with her.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we think we got something with Pelosi, hey, we need to pass it to see what's in it kind of comments. That would be brilliant compared to what we'd get from Ocasio-Cortez. I mean, this woman, oh, man. This woman is just beyond logic. But you know what? What does that say about people in that congressional district in New York where 78% would vote for her? I mean, are you people just retarded?
Well, they are voting up in terms of IQ, so to them, Ocasio-Cortez is a genius, which tells you a lot about the cognitive hierarchy that's taking place there. So yeah, those voters are stupid, and they elected a cognitively, you know, less than brilliant person. She's 29 years old. She doesn't have much life experience. She thinks she knows everything, like all these young people do. They think they know everything. And she's going to get hit with a dose of reality the first day. Nancy Pelosi is going to walk in her office and just slap her and say, you do what we tell you to do. Welcome to the Democrat Party, you know? And I can't wait to see the look on Cortez's face when that happens. Like, what? No, I thought we were in charge. No, you're not in charge. The old guard is in charge. This is the Clinton regime. Welcome to the regime. That's what she's going to be told.
So are we really going to have Hillary 3.0, or is she only doing this to escape possible prosecution so she can claim political retaliation as a presidential candidate?
Well, your analysis on that was brilliant. You're absolutely right. She's doing this just for the political immunity. And what's interesting about that is she's willing to sacrifice her party to have them lose the election just so she can stay out of jail.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't care as long as she stays out of prison.
Well, I know for a fact that the Clintons put $2 billion into Dubai, and they don't have an extradition agreement with the United States. That's where I predict she's going to end up. I got one more big question for you, though.
Yeah.
I think Robert Mueller is QAnon.
No.
I do.
No, that's a wild card, man. I don't know about that.
Well, I got to tell you this.
Why do you think so?
Well, first of all, QAnon's not to be taken seriously for a whole host of reasons. It's classic disinfo. 90% is pretty good, but then the other 10% just goes down the bullshit trail. And I'm sorry to say that, but that's exactly where it's led every single time. 55,000 indictments. Really? Why is Trump still working on his first one? Give me an ever-loving break, okay? Oh, they're going to have to expand Gitmo. Oh, that was a good one. Here's why I think it's QAnon is Robert Mueller. Robert Mueller is in the stinking middle of treason, the biggest treason in the history of the United States with Uranium One and his role in it. And clearly, as FBI director, he knows how this game is played with disinfo. So what he's doing, and he's already doing disinfo by the Russian collusion delusion with Russians meddling in our election. And as I said earlier, that's how what they do. They accuse their enemy of doing what they do. Well, QAnon creates the impression, stuff's happening. Relax, America. It's under control. You don't need to be upset. QAnon is here. 55,000 indictments. They're all going to be in prison. Just be patient. Jeff Sessions is a good guy. He's involved in a plot to unveil all this. He'll fall on his sword for the president. What a bunch of BS that is. And I'll tell you what, who gains by it? Robert Mueller needs to get to the end of Trump's term, or he really does risk going to prison for treason. And that's why I think he's doing the QAnon thing to stretch everything out. It's a hypothesis, but I don't take QAnon seriously. This is the first time I've really spoken out about it, but I'm not going to hold on to it any longer. QAnon is just total BS. Total.
Well, that's an interesting analysis. I've never promoted QAnon because if I don't know who it is, then, you know, I'm not going to stick my neck out for some anonymous source, which
I agree
could be actually an organization. It might not be one person. It could be a whole organization, and they could just change the person who's doing that, and oh, here's the new QAnon, you know? So I don't trust people unless I know that they have been persecuted by the system.
There you go. Bingo. Bingo. Right. You're talking to two victims of the system right here, Mike Adams and Dave Hodges. And this is what gets people involved in this. McCain had to try to steal my house without compensation for me to get off my butt and do something. So you're exactly right, Mike, and I totally agree with that. Well, unfortunately, we've come to the end of our time. This has really been fascinating. I always had great discussions with you. You got News Target. You got everything out there, Mike. Brighteon, I love your videos out there. They are so good. It's so good to see videos that aren't censored. But you do such a great job, Mike. You really do. And I've enjoyed going back and forth with you, sharing some controversial ideas.
Oh, it's been a lot of fun, Dave. I always appreciate you having me on, and I can't believe the time went by this quickly. But thank you.
And Mike, if you could hang on just a second when we close, I need to cover the logistics here with this. Okay? All right. To everyone else, hey, thanks for listening. We'll see you back here again next time. And really, keep fighting the good fight, because if you're going to cast a vote, you better make sure it goes where it says it's going to go.